verse number 20, chapter 1, and we're in the book of Romans.
We're in the Bible, not the encyclopedia. Go ahead.
For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, not were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened.
All right, okay. Let's stop there.
We both said the same thing. Right. Let's stop there. No, I just wanted to point out, and I could go to a scripture, but I don't think I'll do that. But I just want to point out that we have to make sure, I guess I could read it from here. We have to make sure that we are not making any kind of excuses. We have to be people that are Christians that are sort of like, I can do that. I can do that. With the Lord's help, I can do that.
Right.
And make sure that we're not making excuses. And really, when you think about it, that scripture that talks about different ones making excuses. I have a wife, so I can't come. Right. Really, to me, it's just not telling the truth. So sometimes excuses are not truthful. And we need to make sure that when we are giving excuses, it's the truth. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? And we've all done it before where we said, I can't make that because I have somebody coming over the house. And you're having somebody coming over, but that's like two
next
days
week.
Later, or the following week. And we make excuses, and we have to remember we are becoming Christ-like. And no, we're not going to ever reach perfection, but that doesn't mean that we have to make excuses of not trying to be more Christ-like. And so it's a daily walk, and that's why Paul said, I die daily. He wasn't talking about a physical death. He was talking about he's dying to self. He's dying to his flesh. He's dying to his own motives and everything else. And so we should, we should make sure that as believers that we're just going to determine a walk in truth. And then the flip side, going back, is just we're not going to make excuses. If we can do something, let's do it. I like what we're reading a book, a lot of the leaders and the deacons and their wives, there's a book that we have given to them that they're reading, and it's about the ministry of helps. Speaking of that, we have some, we're not reading this same book, but we've read this book, and we have some free copies at the bookstore, and it's called The Ministry of Helps or, Help or something like that. But anyway, we have a few copies. And you're welcome to them. If you are serving in the church, you're welcome to one of those books free. But that was one of the books that we gave to our leaders a while back. But now we're on a different leadership book, really. And so because we're always training our leaders here at this church. And some of these people have become managers because of the training
That's
they've
true.
Received here. But anyway, and so I like what it says in what we're reading right now. And he says, when a pastor comes to you and asks you, oh, would you, I need you to serve. I need you to usher. And we tend to say this, and we've all done this too before. I'll pray about it. Then we're acting like the pastor is not hearing from God. And I tend to believe that here at this church. Because we're praying, and we're being led by the Holy Spirit. We don't just put people in leadership positions just because, maybe their status on their job or whatever, that we really do pray and ask God to guide us and lead us and put the right people in the right places and things like that. And over the years, we've done pretty well. We've made some I wouldn't say we've made mistakes. I would say that sometimes, you know, you deal with a Judas spirit. Okay? And so, or what's that David's son? Absalom spirit.
Right.
And so you give people opportunities, and sometimes they start out okay. And then, you know, the head gets a little big, start getting bigger and bigger, and pride start coming in. And so sometimes people can't handle, you know, they can't handle even working around us sometimes. I don't know. I'm just going off on a lot of little trails, but I'm going to just go that way because I feel the Spirit of God is doing. I mean, there's some women that can't even work around Pastor Shorter. I'll say Pastor Shorter, but any pastor, because they'll start out okay, and then they allow their flesh to start getting the best of them.
That ain't happening.
And but it has happened.
Well,
in
I'm
this
saying
ministry.
It ain't happening on my side.
Yeah, but I know, but I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people we assign.
Well, I have to give my disclaimer.
And so that's just one example, but you know, and then sometimes people just get, you know, they can't handle, you know, they can't handle standing up here preaching. I mean, we've been in ministry now, what, 38 years?
Mm-hmm.
I think 38?
38.
Yeah, 38
going on
years.
39.
We're going to, at our 40th, we're going to celebrate
big.
We're
going to party.
We're just going to, whole week, we're just going to bring in different powerful preachers, and we're just going to,
That's
celebrate.
Right.
Are you with us on that? At the 40th, we have to do it big. So anyway, and so some people can't even handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to learn, I'll go back to what I was saying, we have to learn how to not make excuses,
mm-hmm.
and even serving the Lord and, you know, giving and tithing. Oh, I don't have enough money. Well, you know, tithe off what you got, you know, until God gives you more. Because if you're faithful with little, the Bible says that he will give you more,
much
more. And so so we just need to be faithful and not make excuses. And it's like sometimes you get sort of discouraged when you're inviting people to church. And you know you've done this too before. And then they make all sorts of kind of excuses, relatives or friends and things like that. And, you know, they make sorts of just different excuses like the Bible says. But, you know, keep praying for them and keep inviting. Invite them so much. Do like with the, there's a parable in the Bible about a lady that, was he a king? Or he went to a man that, he was a judge. And she kept going to him and going to him and going to him. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And going to him. And he got so sick of her after a while. And he gave her what she wanted, okay? And so sometimes we need to just keep inviting people, inviting to the point where they say, okay, I'll just go. But then also, let me just say this because now I'm going to this area. Invite people, duplicate yourself. If you like this kind of church that's built on truth, then other people that I believe you're hanging out with, they should like that
mm-hmm.
too. Because of course you wouldn't hang out with people that don't love the word, right? I'm talking about fellowship. I'm not talking about acquaintance and, you know. But anyway, so I just wanted to bring that up.
You know, I think that's a good point because we do need to know. And this is one of the reasons why the book of Romans is a very pointy book, because it is after the book of Acts. It's sitting there to be able to give us now the instructions for the church. That's what Book of Romans is. Of course, the other ones, you know, Romans, Galatians, Colossians, all that. Those are letters to the churches on how to operate with the churches. And so in Romans, though, there's a lot of flesh that has to die, okay? There's a lot of crucifying of the flesh in the book of Romans. And so you sometimes squirm when you read some of this stuff. And so what First Lady is saying is very important for us to grab a hold of and not just throw that to the side. You should have fruit that remains. That's what God wants you to have. And that doesn't mean you're still with the same buddy and you still, you know, got the same three people that you know at church or whatever. You should be bringing fruit into the kingdom consistently. God wants you to have fruit that remains. Okay, and I know this ain't real fun, but can you right now point to fruit that you I'm talking about people. People are the fruit that you have been able to disciple. Don't break me down with excitement now. See, because we have to take that inventory too, because we have to be able to do what God says that we're to do, and that is to be an ambassador and to be a reconciler, helping people. Do you know that everybody is actually saved? Jesus already paid the price for everybody. They just have to accept that salvation. And do you know you walked by people today that would accept it if they would hear you invite them to be able to be part of the kingdom of God? Everybody, their ticket, okay, right now, you go to SeaTac. Here I go with airplanes, but you go to SeaTac right now, there's a plane probably going to Chicago within another hour or two. It's already ready to go. But you have to get the ticket to go there, but it's ready to go, okay? Well, in the kingdom, going to heaven is already paid for everybody. The Lord was talking to me about this. Everybody. You can't, don't walk by people. They may be a candidate for heaven. That's why I like to say when we have fellowship in the church, like communions and different things, find a stranger, make a friend. Because some of your best friends, well, your best friends should be come out of the church that you belong to. And the reason I say that is because you're being taught the same thing. You're of the same spirit of faith, as the Bible says. And so we should be able to be on one common ground concerning these things. That's what happened to these folks here in the book of Romans, this first chapter. They left the Lord. This is to the church. They left God. Now, you got to make a decision. If people leave God, you ain't leaving with them. Take your rump out. You can go and leave God all you want to. I'm not leaving God. I ain't going to hell for you. I don't care what your name is and who you are, what degree you got, whatever. I'm not following your craziness. Because I know for myself, you wasn't there when I got born again. Okay? Nobody was there when you got born again. You got born again by yourself. You got saved by yourself. Unless you're not saved, then we need to deal with that. We'll have an altar call. This is one church that has an altar call at every service. Not all churches have that. I went to church for a long time and never got born again. My wife and I were talking about it. We went to Baptist churches, and I'll just say Baptist churches where the deacons were not even saved. And they said, one day I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Now, they're a deacon standing outside smoking, because that's what they always did at the church we went to. Now, anybody else see that? Put your hand up if you saw that. Now, I'm not putting down the Baptist because there's all kinds of flavors of this. With all kinds of denominations. But see, you got to realize, number one, that's the reason why you should be tight with folks in your church. Because they're getting the same standards. It's like your mom, here you acting a fool at the house or saying something stupid. She want to find out, where did you learn that from? Who you been hanging with?
But you have to remember, too, evil communications can corrupt good manners. And so, since we're talking about friendship in the church, okay. But if they start leaving or acting a fool and get mad at your church and they leave, that don't mean you need to leave out with them.
Right.
You need to be strong enough and mature enough to say, this is my church, so you can go, but right. I'm not going. Because it's amazing to me. And let me say, this is a trait of Satan. So this is, see, the church, it's not a playground, okay? This is serious business, because you're dealing with demonic spirits. You're dealing with life, eternal life in the lives of people, yeah. You know. And so we're dealing with, serious business, okay? And so we have to know that if someone else is, you know, getting negative and stuff, that shouldn't move you, because this is your church. Mm-hmm. And you have to be strong enough as a believer to not let somebody move you, because if somebody moved you, then that just a sign. I was going to go somewhere else. I was saying something okay. else. Do you remember?
No,
what I was
don't.
Saying? Anybody remember?
I got
but
something.
I'll just
I
say this is a sign that that you're still immature. If somebody can lead you the wrong way,
right?
There was a book I read years ago, Psalms 23, And as a human shepherd that wrote this book, he became a Christian. And he said there was one little sheep that he had, and it was a precious sheep to him. But after a while, that sheep start leading other sheep through a little hole in a fence. And he couldn't have it, you know. And so, you know, some other things happened. He said, you know, I have to get rid of this sheep. I'm going to have to kill him.
So he became dinner.
So he became, like you said, a little lamb chops or something. But anyway. But, you know, you're not going to do all that. You're not going to harm somebody. You know, I'm not saying that. Don't harm nobody. But sheep is easily led, okay? And we're all sheep, and so we have to grow in the things of Christ. So that way people can't move you off your faith, off your church, off your, you know, from your pastor. Because, you know, I know for Pastor Shorter, this pastor, he's serious about the sheep in this church. And so you want a pastor that's serious, you know, like that, and it's going to be with you through, you know, through good times or challenging times. So anyway, there was something else I was trying to go to, okay. But because I did that, I sort of went off.
Now, I want to help you to understand what's happening here. You've got a prophet of the Lord, and she doesn't run around saying, I'm prophet Kathy. You know the tree by the fruit it bears, okay? But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 3. You have to understand what a prophet is here to do. And 14:3.
That's just one scripture.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's just one of them. But I don't have time to go to the other ones. I got an assignment on me right now. Yeah. But anyhow, but it says, but he who prophesies, or a prophet, this is 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. So you can understand, you need to receive what she's saying. Okay, I'm trying to help you now. I'm the pastor, but the prophet comes in with exhortation, edification and comfort, and there's also correction with the prophet that comes along with it. And she's looking up that scripture now, I'm sure. But anyhow, for the prophet, he who prophesies speaks edification, or to build you up, exhortation and comfort to men. So you need to know that there are certain things at times that this prophetic gifting, because there's five folds to the ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Prophets don't always speak by that unction. They do that by when the Spirit of God hits them or comes upon them, then they speak. And that's why you need to listen to them. But a prophet is the only fivefold ministry gift that is judged by the leaders or the pastor and the bishop, the overseer of that church, to be able to accept or reject the prophecy, especially the prophecy that comes to the congregation. Because if there was a prophecy given either by tongues or in English, we would have to wait for either interpretation if it's in tongues. I'm giving just training concerning the ministry. Or we would, the overseer of that church will agree, yes, that's from the Lord. And sometimes they'll say, that wasn't really a prophecy. That's more of an exhortation. It's to encourage you, or that's some comfort for somebody here. And they're the only ones whose prophecy or word that comes from the Lord, from that, thus saith the Lord, so-and-so, such-and-such, is judged in the church. A lot of people don't know this stuff. But anyhow, you need to know that. So while she was speaking, God had already loaded me up with something else to bring to you, which I'm still delaying right now. But he said, let her finish her prophetic work. Let her do her work, and then you bring forth what you have that I've given to you that's on the runway to get off the ground, okay? So you got to understand it. So when you hear her speak, a lot of times, I don't think people take her serious enough. And that's what happens with prophets, because they hear people talking all the time. But a prophet's words, if you look in the Old Testament especially, it will not fall to the ground. If that is a true prophet, what they say is coming to pass. See, because you'll hear a lot of people saying stuff, even Christians saying stuff, that they're not saying it by the unction of the Holy Spirit. But when a prophet truly speaks, that prophecy or that word from God is not going to hit the ground. And so the correction she just gave, and the warning almost to you that she just gave, you need to take to heart. And I'm saying that We receive that, even though it wasn't thus saith the Lord. She's just giving you some warning. Now, where's the exhortation comfort? We'll get to the rest of that concerning correction. We'll get to that scripture. I got to get back to Romans chapter 1. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1, and we'll deal with that as well. So there's several things. Now, it says something here that I want to ask you a question about and get some feedback. In verse number 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." Can anybody tell me what are some of the invisible attributes of God that's clearly seen? What are some of his invisible attributes that we can clearly see and we have been able to see since the creation of the world? Okay. That's invisible. We can see that. How many have received mercy before? Everybody's hand got to go up on that. We were all rascals. Anyhow, and rascalettes. Anyhow. What else? What are some of the other invisible attributes? Well, God is what? No, God is what? God is love. Okay, so we can sense the love of God. Can you see his love? I mean, you can't see it physically. I'm talking about visible or invisible. You can see the attributes of that love even in your own heart. When you're hurting, God loves you, takes care of you, comforts you with the Holy Spirit. There are invisible attributes that are clearly seen. They're clearly seen. If we would stop for a minute, we would stop complaining and really give God glory for the invisible things that are happening in our lives. Because God's working some work on us. And sometimes we don't even see it. And sometimes, and you know, I'm going to ask God this, but I think I know the answer. I really want to know, why, God, do you not want anybody to see you? You can't see God and live. You see God, you're toast. That's it. We just get your coffin ready because it's over. You cannot see God and live. And that's why even for Moses, he could only see the back parts. And see, when I went to heaven, I was in the, I want to call it like a, it's throne room, but it was more of a waiting room. People were waiting to be judged in this place. And I saw relatives waiting to be judged. But I never could see God, and I could sense that the throne next to him was Jesus next to him, but I couldn't, there was no way to look at that when I saw in heaven. I just couldn't, I couldn't see him. But, and there was one part that you'll read in the book where he showed me, as he said about Moses, his back parts. But I saw it almost like through an opaque, sort of like, you know how a plastic cover is sort of frosted? I saw, like, I couldn't, you can't see God and live. Well, you know, I'd be gone if I did see him. I never would have came back. But see, God has so much going on in the invisible, we need to give God thanks for what we can't even see. Do you hear me? I mean, come on. Now, I'm going to be flying in an airplane tomorrow through the clouds. There we go, Kevin. Yeah, I'm going to be flying tomorrow through the clouds, and I'm going to trust those instruments. But do you know who I'm really trusting? I'm trusting God. And I don't go flying anywhere unless I check with God first. I get a ticket from him first before I go and do anything, file IFR, or anything with the government or with the FAA. So you need to know there's some invisible things. So if you can't see anything, that doesn't mean that nothing's going on. I love that. I just love it. So if you can't see it, you praise God anyhow. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so God wants you to know that he is working. He has attributes in the invisible. And if you would really sit down sometime, even while you're going through all that hell, if you sit down sometimes, you would really be able to give God some glory and say, thank you, Lord, for, you know, just the things I can't see that you're doing in my life. There are invisible attributes that are being, that are not, you can't see them. They're clearly seen if you would really sit down and think about it. I mean, just really think about what's going on with you, how God has protected you, how he takes care of you or watches over you. That's what I want to say. And then it says, for it talks about these invisible attributes. See, and we need to maybe go home and write down some invisible attributes. We always want to thank God for the new car because that's shiny and we can see it. You know, thank God for that new house. Thank God for them little children running around the house that you believed God for, whatever. Or thank God for the money to take care of the children. Hello. Because you can see that. But what about some invisible things that we can thank God for? And that's what God had loaded me up with as she was giving those words. And he told me, just wait, okay? You know, hold short, okay? It's not time to get this off the ground. And so I wanted to make sure she finished what she was doing. And I say that because you're hearing from the Spirit of God. You ain't hearing from us. So you should come in here knowing you're hearing from the Spirit of God and take copious notes on what is being said so you can use this stuff in your own personal life. Say amen to that too. For since the creation of the whole of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are. Now, wait a minute. I thought he wrote this to the church. But he's talking about those that are outside of this church at Rome, church in Tacoma, church in Seattle, church in Washington State, so that they are without excuse, because they're in the church. He's writing to the church, but he's talking about those that have left the church. That's the silliest thing to do, is to leave God's covering. Man, I'd be so afraid of it. You know, I can't even stand leaving out of town without leaving my tithes. I'm scared to get on the plane. I'm scared. It's not that I'm scared something God's going to smash me like a bug or something. I have a relationship with God, a covenant with God, to where, you know, the little change I give him, amen, a little change I give him, he protects all my life. Are you kidding me? That is amazing. He watches over me because we have a covenant through the tithing and giving. Hey, it's not just through the blood of Jesus, because all of that was Jesus. Watch this now. All of that was Jesus. What part is you? You talk about, we have a covenant with God because of Jesus Christ. Well, that's his side of the covenant. What's your side of the covenant? It's obedience in various areas. So we have to know that God is good. I said, God is good. I said, God is good. Sister, what you got? Okay, I thought you had something else you was loaded with. Okay, so it's important for us to understand that you, I, they, whoever they is, without excuse. They're without excuse. And that's a hard thing to take because there's some people who are saying, well, why did that happen to them? Well, there's enough going on the planet. I was cleaning out my car, and there was a cup of water before we left tonight. I took the cup of water, and we just had our gardener plant some nice-looking flowers in our front yard and put some beauty bark, and it looks real nice. And I took the water, I said, I'm going to water these plants. And I threw the water like this, and it knocked the flower off. It knocked the thing, it cut the thing's head clean off. Don't you go looking when you go home. She loves all those flowers. It knocked the flower right off the plant. I'm saying, but see, God, and I was like, I can't put no another flower on there. I can't even put the flower back on there. And I'm looking at the thing saying, will it flower again? I don't know if it's going to get another one. I said, I killed that flower with trying to water it. You know, but it's amazing. And the beautiful flower, red and black and brown colors and stuff. But we can't create that. You can look at that and get to know God. Yeah, you can. Instead of just worshiping the salmon and the whales, you can look at where did the salmon and the whales come from? Hello, Native Americans. I'm part of that. But see, we have to realize that God is good, even if we don't see it, because he's invisibly carrying you in his hand. He'll bear you on eagle's wings. He'll take you. All right. Now, can we go a little further? Let's go a little bit further, okay, because I'm having fun. I don't know about y'all.
Oh, yeah.
We're having a great time, right?
Yes.
Verse 21, would you please read her? She put the microphone.
Now it'll make sense because.
Go on, reader. Don't want to tax you too much, but go ahead and read verse 21, please.
Again? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God.
Stop. The woods are full of them. People that know God, meaning that they've received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I'm really concerned about the body of Christ right now. Yeah, well, they believe that. Won't you see that?
Yeah, girl? Or believe that there is a God.
They do believe that.
Some people believe that there is a God, but they haven't received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
But the problem is that they don't glorify him
as
God.
No, they don't. No, and they believe there is a God, but they don't glorify God. You know, as the Father, you know, and Jesus as the Son.
How do you get people to do that?
They don't honor him.
How do you get people to do that? How do you get people to
really honor God? They just live any way they want
to live. God.
You know, as Christians, we are not just live any kind of way we want to live. We have crucified ourselves, right?
Mortify the deeds of the flesh.
The body. Yeah, this is Romans 6. We'll get there. But so we die to sin. And like I said, it's a growing process, but we should grow. And we shouldn't, the same challenges that we've had in the past should not be a challenge to us as we're growing in the things of God.
Again, the book of Romans is a book about the flesh.
But people been in the church, some of them have been a Christian for 10 years, and they still doing a lot of crazy stuff. I'm saying, you know, I don't know. You know, you can say, like I said last time, you can say you're a Christian all you want. Just like I can say I'm a car, but even the Lord said, you'll know them by the fruit that they'll bear. And people that love Jesus, they're just going to live a different kind of lifestyle. And it's not being religious. It's not being holier than someone else. Because, and I was just reading this. In fact, I'm going to be talking about this later. But I was just reading about, and it talked about fasting, talked about giving to the poor, about the Pharisees. And the problem that they had, if you study that scripture out, it wasn't that they gave to the poor. It's nothing wrong with giving to the poor, okay? It's nothing wrong with fasting. And then there's a third, praying. The other one's praying. Three things, three areas that Christians should be involved with. We should be praying, we should give to the poor, and we do. If you tithe and give to this church, you're giving to the poor too. Because this church does that. Mm-hmm. And then there's nothing wrong with giving to poor people out there. But giving to the poor, and what did I say? Pray, giving to the poor, and fasting. So it's nothing wrong with those areas, but what's wrong is that they wanted to do it, the Bible says, to be seen by men. So what I'm saying is there is nothing wrong with living a holy life. But you're not living this life to be seen by people.
Yeah.
In fact, I was talking to my husband, and ladies will relate to this, you know. So men, just don't worry about it right now, what I'm about to say. But I was talking to my husband today, and I said, you know, one thing I don't do, and I just don't do it. This is my choice. I don't do it. I don't get into trends fashion trends. Okay.
Now, everybody's going back to the 1990s, especially Gen Zers.
Yeah, and that's what happened.
They are in love with 1990s.
We were listening to a report about how people, young people, are getting, they want to go back to the music of the 1990s.
They felt like they lost out.
And all this kind of stuff. So anyway, that started that conversation. And so I told my husband, I said, one thing I don't do, I don't get into trends, fashion trends. You know, I've made a choice to wear things I like wearing, you know? And I was looking at pictures of me, even in high school and stuff like that. I mean, you know, I used to like to dress nice in high school. And that's just the way I am. That's just my bent of who I am. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at my biological mother, one picture that I got. And here she's at a birthday party, because some things is DNA, they say. And so... But anyway, here she's at these kids' birthday party, and she's the only one sitting there with a pearl necklace. I said, well, maybe it's a little bit of DNA from my biological mother or something. Well, so blame her. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we shouldn't get into, it's okay to be holy. It's okay to not want to drink. Okay? It's okay to not want to go to the clubs anymore. It's okay to not want to gamble anymore.
Some people need to hear that it's okay.
You know, it's okay to not want to be around people that's cussing all the time. It's okay to pick your friendship wisely. You know, it's okay to live this life. You're not trying to be, you know, better than someone else. You're just living a life because Christ is changing you.
That's right.
You know, and he takes the things you used to like and he gives you something better, you know? I mean, there's movies we used to like that we don't like anymore. And so it's just a relationship that you start developing with the Lord. And it's not, you know, sometimes people want to put you in a little box that you're trying to be better than them or holier than them or more righteous than them or, you know, and it's just really crazy. Don't let people put you in a box. You can't care about what people think. You know, you have to live your life before God. And I want to, and we should want to live our lives before the Lord in a righteous way, you know, to best to our ability according to the Word of God, letting the Word of God. And all the stuff that I talked about, it's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It talks against these things, you know. And so we should, you know, we shouldn't like homosexuality. We shouldn't like that. We love the people, but we don't like the act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Okay. And so we have, and the world will try to get you to come out of that true, you know, come out of that, come out of the Bible, really. Oh, we'll get to it. Who turned the truth of God to a lie or something? We'll get to that scripture. And the world will try to get you convinced that that lifestyle or, you know, doing other stuff that's ungodly is okay. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people are doing it. But see, it's sort of like the trends of fashion. So what? I don't care if women are wearing, you know, clothes that look like hookers. I'm not going to wear those things. You know what I'm saying?
I'm in.
So, you know, and so there's changes. You know, there's changes that you make. And I've been, you know, I've been in this a long time, but I'm still growing. See, I never will get to the point where I can say, and you'd like to say it, what did you say, stamp a person?
Trained.
Trained, you know. The Word of God is always instructing
me.
And we're always going to grow and train. I mean, grow and change and everything until we go to heaven.
Right.
And so I haven't arrived. I know that. But, you know, we need to know it's okay to live a godly life where you don't cuss anymore. And No, I don't want to smoke. You know, I don't know if smoking is really a sin, but I don't want to smoke. I don't want to, you know, I've tried it before, but I don't want that in my body. You know, I don't want stuff that's going to, you know, break down my physical body. Believe me, and the older you get, the more you'll become like that. You sort of get more protective of what God, because everything we own, everything we have to realize this, it doesn't belong to us.
Mm-hmm.
Everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, at me. And as a mother, I'm gonna help you mothers now. It's hard to release our kids to the Lord, you know, because if you were like me, which I think you were, you love raising your children. I did. I mean, I poured my heart into them because I was raised differently. I wasn't raised in an atmosphere of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted that for my kids. I wanted them to know I love them and stuff. And so sometimes it's hard to release them. But you have to after a while. You have to release them. You have to, you know, let them go. And so, you know, I'm just saying that we have to continue to grow. We need to, you know, have our lives according to the Word of God and let the Word of God become the final authority. And don't let people put you in a trip to say, yeah, I like, I'm sort of Book of Revelation. There's a hot and there's a cold. and I'm not going to be lukewarm for God. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be hot for God. I'm not going to apologize for it. And I'm going to, you know, as much as we can, we should want it. We should want it the right way according to the word of God. And right. We need to find out what God's word says on that certain subject and live according to that way. Say a big amen. I said all those words to say that.
Now, I want to be able to take what she said and be able to put it in some kind of perspective. You're not trying to become holier than somebody else. You were born as a baby. You can't stay as a baby. Everybody that comes into the kingdom of God, God loves babies so much until he makes everybody a baby. So you can't get into the kingdom without being a baby. I called my wife my baby. I said, I had 3 babies, now I got a 4th baby. Come over here, baby. I feed my baby. I hug my baby. I rock my baby.
And I tell him I want no more babies. I don't want no more
babies. You're the baby now. But we start out, listen to me, what I'm saying. This is going to help you to get this. We start out as babies. I'm looking over a congregation of people that each one spiritually is some age or another. You are not all the same age spiritually.
That's right.
There's some of you that are way mature. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You're way mature. And there's others of you, you still, if we went to your house spiritually, you still playing with ABC blocks. Spiritually. That's where you are. Now, that doesn't mean you're not a Christian.
Right.
It means you just, and now when you get about 16 years old and we go to your house and the entertainment you have is not Monopoly, but it's ABC blocks, we got a challenge. Because as a Christian, you should grow out of some things. So you're not trying to be holier than thou. You're not trying to be greater than somebody else because you grew out of the need for alcohol to say you had a good time.
Yes.
You grew out yes. of the need to hang with people to cuss to feel like you're a big man, big woman. You grew out of the need for being able to talk about people like a dog just so you can be able to feel like you're somebody great. You have matured. Got a scripture for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Yeah, that's a good scripture.
Because Paul was even a child, even though he got born again when he was quite old and quite experienced in the Mosaic law as well as in the understandings of what was going on with the Romans. He knew what was going on in both. He understood the Mosaic law, and then he became an expert in, of course, Christianity. But he had to grow into that. Now, part of what I've been saying on Sunday is that Jesus learned. He learned obedience. We've got to be loving to learn. If you don't love learning, you're not going to like this church because we're always teaching you something. I mean, and I remember Apostle Price, Dr. Frederick Casey Price, our pastor. Every time you came around him, he expected you to be able to be ready to be taught something.
Yeah, that's.
I don't care if it's how he treated his wife, how he opened the door for his wife, how he straightened her fork and knife at the table because he was a perfectionist, what his house was like, and, you know, going into his house and, you know, the prophet's quarters that he had there set aside, especially for Kenneth Hagin first, and then for other ministers that came in. All the people that came to visit with Dr. Price, they would go into prophet's quarters, and that's where we stayed. Nice bedroom. And he, in fact, when we went in there, he sat us down for 20 minutes to show us how to operate the television. He's that kind of perfectionist. He said, now, if you want to be able to go to this particular channel, now, if you like satellite, you can go now. And then this, he had about 6 different remote controls. And I love movies, you know. Now, he didn't watch no nasty movies, but he loved science fiction, stuff like that. Now, if you want to get to that movie, you can go. Now, you can't. Now, and I pushed the wrong button while he was training me. It was like, no, you didn't get it. See, you ain't listening. I'm saying, I don't want no TV. Okay. I'll just sit here. We'll pray in the spirit for a while. Don't worry about it. But he was that.
So you think we're bad.
You think we're bad. You couldn't get around him without him rubbing off on you. Because he expected you wanted to learn something from him. That's why you was with him.
Yeah, that's
true. And so if you didn't want to learn nothing, just leave him alone. He won't say nothing to you. Mm-hmm. And so that's how he had 450 pastors trying to visit him every year. And that's why he started thick with him, because he didn't have any more 1 hours to give to all these pastors that wanted to come to see him from around the world. We were one of them. Okay? So he started his conventions with ministers, and I was thankful that he made us. This couple, one of the 12 that were on the board of directors running that organization. So I'm saying to you, you got to get excited about learning. Yeah. Don't get teed off. I want to say something else. Don't get teed off when you come to church. You know what I mean? You walk out of here, what do you got the nerve to say all that? I assume when you come up in here, you want me to get in your business.
That's why some people don't want to come to this church.
I assume you give me a license. Will you park your car out there and walk through that door? You give me the license to read your mail. I may not know what you're dealing with, but the Spirit of God will come to you. This is 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. When I was a child, three things. I spoke as a child. See, we got to judge you by how you talk. That's why a Christian calling himself a Christian and cussing all the time, you ain't no Christian. Not mature to where you should be. Because by the time you turn 12, you need to find out that cuss words don't do nothing for you anyhow.
Can you read that? Can you hold off on reading that scripture?
Yeah.
Because I want to go through this scripture real quick. I'm not going to teach
okay.
on it.
That's fine.
But you said something about we need to continue to learn. People need,
that's
when
fine.
They come
go
up
right
in this
ahead.
Church,
deviate
they want to learn, right?
Yep.
So here's a good scripture. Therefore, this is in Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard.
Read that again.
Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard.
Have heard.
Lest we drift away. That's all I wanted.
Okay. But see, just because you heard it doesn't mean that you got it. And that's why we have to keep repeating the same thing. It's like, Pastor, why Pastor still teaching this again? Because you didn't get it last time.
But we can drift away.
Because if you don't get, see, we should
be adding to. Right.
Line upon line, precept upon precept is what the Bible says. We should be adding here a little, there a
yeah.
little, consistently growing. We need to no longer want to even talk like a child. Don't talk like a child.
Right.
So how are you going to be judged? People going to listen to the way you talk. Mm-hmm. If you talk about your flesh all the time, that's all you care about. You're so scared of everything. You know, nothing's going to happen. No, nothing's going to work. And you're always complaining, always scared of something, always this, that, the other. You're a child. Then we try to talk to you about the word, and you can't take that. I understood as a child. See? And so we got to grow up in our thinking. I wrote the book, Casting Down Imaginations, Take Control of Your Thoughts and Winning Against All Odds. And I believe you need to throw out some thoughts, because you don't need those. Some things you need to cancel. I understood as a child. And see, a child only understands so much.
That's
I'm not going
right.
to give no little kid my the keys to my car. Mm-hmm. For what? They don't even know how to start it. And if they do, I'm scared. They shouldn't have the keys. See, and we as Christians want to punk people off because they don't want to act like a little child any longer. Yeah. Well, who do you think you are? You're greater than now. You're holier than now. You can't. No, we don't want to live in the flesh no more.
Yeah.
You live in the flesh by yourself. And so that's what we dealt with, even in Thick With Them. Had ministers coming in there with stupid stories, screwing the women in the church and all this kind of stuff. We got to sit there and say, what's wrong with you, man? You're supposed to be a leader. What are you doing? What are you doing? You can't. And then you expect people to follow you. And eventually the church just falls to pieces. I spent 20 years with that in ministers. And so we have to stop being a child. Stop thinking like a child. Get around people that think big. See,
yes.
People that That's think right. small Amen. Are people that think of people. People that think big think on visions. And most people don't talk visions. What they talk is about somebody else and some old junk. That's small thinking people. Large, big thinking people think visions. They talk about visions of what God can do through them. Amen.
Yes. That's right.
That's a child, though. Think about it, though. They can't stay on things very long.
That's true. Their attention span is
Their attention
very
span,
short.
That's how they think as a child.
You
for 1 minute, they want to be a fireman. The next 5 minutes, they're a policeman. 20 minutes later, they're the garbage man. I mean, they just go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And if you give them 5 minutes, they'll be wanting to be something else. You got to know who you are and be that.
Yes.
You're a child of God. You don't want to be a Buddhist.
That's right.
You ain't interested in Hare Krishna. You're not interested in the New Age.
And we're part of royalty.
That's right.
This is the kingdom.
Settle it.
Of God. Okay? The
Settle
kingdom.
It.
Kingdom. Where the king is has in dominance.
He has the domain. Okay, so three things. I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. And I thought as a child. Understanding and thinking is two different things.
Yep.
You can think something, but not even understand it. And we need to get around people that's got wisdom so we can get some understanding.
Yes.
I'm going to say it. Get mad at me. Don't come no more. I don't care. I'm going to tell you the truth. At least you'll leave out of here with the truth. I am so tired of millennials thinking they know everything. I'm sick of it. Your rump been on this planet for about 30 to 40 years. You don't know everything. I've been here 71 years. I sure don't know everything. But you want to punk everybody off that's not a millennial because, of course, your generation knows everything because they have a phone and Google. And you can find everything out by Google. And some people believe Google. They got more faith in Google than they do in the Word of God. That's my problem with that, too. Google lies sometimes, and AI is crazy sometimes. You can have AI write all your stuff if you want to. You're going to get an E on some of that stuff. You know what I'm talking about. You know, I don't want AI in my cockpit. I don't want AI. They try to put AI in the cockpit of airplanes now. I don't really want that much. You know, I want to be able to make sure, is that meter working? See, and you got to understand, you can think a different way, and you can get around people that don't think stupid. I'm almost done.
And that's why, I'm going to say this because the Spirit of God is leading me. That's why some people just stay the same old way.
Yeah.
They look the same old way. They stay the same old way. Because they stay with the same group of people that think small. All they do is talk about people instead of talking about vision. God has so much for you. But some of your fellowship and your conversation with people, you stay so base that God can't give you something bigger. You get away from some of these people that's keeping you as a child. Then you can grow up, you know, and be a godly woman that you should be or a godly man that you should be. Some men, they hang around the same old jerks, you know. Really, that they go out on their wives, want to go to drink after work. And I mean, talking about Christian men. And they stay so base instead of getting around, you know, a man like my husband that's going to challenge you. And I'm serious about this. Going to challenge you to be a man. Take care of your family. Go home after work. You know, and so we women and men, we get around. We stay around people that think so small. All they do is talk about, you know, think about it. Think about it. And that's why I choose not to get involved with. Think about it. People take pictures of their food, put it on Instagram
the flesh,
or whatever.
The flesh, the
and
flesh,
I'm saying,
the
it's
flesh,
so,
the flesh.
It's so
it's
base
all the flesh.
To me. It's so base to me. And I'm saying you're wasting your time doing that and then sitting there for hours looking at everybody else's lives
And the problem with that is God has a big vision for you, and you never will obtain it, and you never will carry out the real full purpose of what God created you to be, because you want to live a base life and want to remain a child, and it's time to grow up
and
in
stop the criticizing the ones that want to be mature. Don't criticize the ones that want to be mature.
There's people that say they're Christians that I wouldn't hang around with. I just wouldn't hang around with, because their conversation is like a child. And I don't have time to waste. And God can talk to you when you are getting by yourself and stop spending so much time on, you're wasting time that God has given to you. And right. You will never get big visions from the Lord. Creative things that you could be doing, because you're wasting your time with foolishness. And it's time to grow up. And you say, well, that's my friend. You know, we spend about an hour on the phone every night talking about so-and-so and talking about this and talk. And it's just a waste of your time. And you'll never hear from the Spirit of God that has big things for you until you can get away from all that kind of stuff. I'm serious. Visions and dreams come from the Lord. And even God said, in your old age, you will have dreams.
That's right.
Young people will have visions. Yep. And God has visions and dreams. And that's why some of you are still broke. You still can't, you can't give even towards, you know, abundance. I'm trying to help you by the Spirit of God now, because you're wasting your time over here when you should be spending time praying so God can birth some visions and dreams inside of you. There's not a money problem.
It's a mind
There's
problem.
There's a mind problem. Yeah. People are broke in their thoughts.
Yeah, you're broke in your head first.
That's where it starts. And you should say, thank you, Lord, that I'm here tonight to hear this. Because you know what? I'm talking to myself too. Okay? Not that I'm hanging around foolish stuff, because I don't waste my time like that. But still, I'm talking to myself, because the Spirit of God is telling me, he said, Kathy, I've even got some bigger dreams for you. So don't spend time doing this. Now it's time to spend time doing this. So he's talking to me while I'm talking to you guys. Okay? Praise God. I receive it, Lord. I receive that.
Tron.
So,
okay. Yeah.
You know, God loves us, and that's why he corrects us like this. That's why he's trying to do this to you, because in some of you, you think you're so old, you know, well, you know, I've lived my days, and, you know, no, God still can have big dreams for you.
That's right.
Okay?
Stop.
And big visions
for
you.
Stop retiring on God. Listen, I spent 6.5 years almost like a retiree. It's hell.
Now, I did retire from an area, because God wants me to focus in on another area, okay? And so so God is not going to take you out for no purpose. God's going to stop you from doing something because there's something greater that he wants you to get involved with that's going to help people. And whatever God tells you to do is going to help people. Say a big amen. It's never a self-centered thing. And that's why your vision is not big enough. If it's just centered around me, myself, and I, it's not a vision from God. It's a vision that you maybe came up with. Mm-hmm. Because any type of vision from God or a dream from God is going to include other people. It'll never be for yourself. Say a big amen.